that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldanysoap.com. That's oldanysoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldanysoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
So we have, this is National Bugle Radio. We're starting off a new week. I'm Patrick Slattery. I am joined by Mark Collette from Great Britain. I usually let that music play for a little bit because it gets me going. But welcome to the show, Mark.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be back. How are you?
I'm fine. And yourself?
As good as can be. It's very cold here. It's very, very cold indeed. I don't think it's got above freezing all day. But we're still here tonight. So I've managed to survive the cold. The thing is, in the UK, all you need is three snowflakes to fall, and then everything goes into panic and complete meltdown. Every single supermarket stripped of every last pint of milk and every last loaf of bread. And it's basically those three snowflakes are a warning of the coming apocalypse. So that's what state we're in now in the UK.
Well, and it's kind of amazing because I'm looking at my globe and I'm looking at London. And London is what? It's about 52 degrees north latitude, 52, which is, I don't know, it's almost, is, I mean, Ketchikan, Alaska is about 54 degrees north. So in northern parts of, I guess when you get up to Manchester, Liverpool, you're talking about southern Alaska latitudes, but it's not a very snowy climate, is it?
Not really, no. I mean, it is in Scotland, I'd say in Scotland, definitely. Obviously, the further north you go, the snowier it gets. But London doesn't often see snow. But I know down south now, they're covered in about 6 inches of it. So they've not been having a great time. But where I am, it's just very, very cold, but with none of the benefits of a snow day. So,
but it's, and it's dark.
Dark, cold, but not snowy where I am.
Yeah. Well, you... we often talk about your videos when you're on the show, and you release videos every week, usually on Thursday, but you had one that was released a little bit earlier. I noticed it came through last night, or last night my time, I think, and I started listening to it. I got a little bit, not that it was boring, it didn't put me to sleep, but it's just that it came through just as I was going to sleep, and I figured, okay, well, I'll listen to it while I lie here, and next thing I knew, I was asleep. But it's a very interesting topic, and it's one that I've been thinking about this morning. And you can introduce your video, and we can talk about it.
Well, thank you. Well, the video is essentially on the big issue that seems to be dividing the alt-right at the moment, and it's of the role of women in the movement. Essentially, there has been a huge debate at the moment on the role of females and what role they have to play. And this has all come about really from some images that have emerged of Lauren Southern. Now, people who don't know who she is, she's a sort of leading alt-light, should I say, sort of, she calls herself a journalist, but she flirts with the alt-right, she flirts with nationalism, and it's come out that she's had a number of mixed-race relationships. And essentially, this has divided the movement, and it's caused some people to jump upon a very anti-female bandwagon. Some people have obviously defended her. Some people have attacked her. And I did about a 20-minute piece yesterday because I wanted to really say what I had to think. Now, I usually release my videos on a Thursday. There will be a video again this Thursday, but I felt this was an important enough issue to, you know, basically release one sort of on Sunday and talk about this. And my point is, essentially, that I believe we do need women in the movement. I think women are very important to the movement. I think women have got an important role to play. I think that women help us immensely in reaching out to normal people, reaching out to the mainstream. I think that women can help soften our image, take our message to new audiences. But also we have to remember that women make up roughly 50% of the white population. And as such, we need to reach out to them. And I think female spokespeople for the movement are much better at reaching out to other females than men are. And I think that's a very, very important role. And when you look at people like Marine Le Pen, Marianne Marshall Le Pen in France, they've done absolutely sterling work in building a powerful electoral movement. And they've taken things further than their male counterparts have. So in no way am I saying women shouldn't be involved in the movement. But I have drawn a line on this and said we need the right women involved in our movement. Now, again, I'm not condemning people who've made mistakes in the past, because everyone's made mistakes. And I've made it very clear that essentially most people today, especially young people, need to be given a degree of leeway, because in the world we live in the multiracial climate, in the multicultural climate, we're surrounded by so many damaging influences. We're surrounded by so much degeneracy, so many messages that brainwash young people into doing the wrong thing, that I genuinely believe that people who have done the wrong thing can come to us and can start a new and better life with us, and shouldn't necessarily be judged for the things they've done, on the proviso that they are willing to admit what they've done is wrong. Now, I've met plenty of young people. People who might have been strippers, people who might have had abortions, people who have been involved with drugs, people who have led a very promiscuous or party-heavy lifestyle. And they've come to this movement and they're looking for a better way of life. They see where they've gone wrong. They feel that something in their life was never, never quite right. And they've had this itch that there's something more. And then they discover us, they want to come to us. And I wouldn't block any of those people from joining our movement. But the important thing is, if people are going to come to our movement, they have to leave the baggage behind. They have to leave the negativity behind. They have to start a new life. Because if they come into our movement and they carry on with their negative behaviors, they carry on embracing negativity, ultimately, they'll bring that negativity into our movement. Now, let's not just focus on women here. Let's focus on men. You know, I get an awful lot of messages from young men who want to improve their lives. People have looked to me as someone who can give advice, because I'm always out keeping fit, mountain biking, going to the gym. I played an incredibly important role in the political system here in the UK. I helped get two MEPs elected, a member of the GLA elected, dozens of councillors. I played a major role in the British National Party, and people come to me asking for advice. And often I get young men writing to me, talking to me about issues with drug addiction, issues of obesity, issues of porn addiction. Just today, I had a guy message me talking about the problems he had with porn addiction. Now, obviously, I'm not going to turn him away. I'm not going to say to him, well, look, you've done all these bad things. You know, you've been watching pornography. That's obviously a industry which is disproportionately Jewish. You know, I'm not going to say that to him. But what I am going to say is, you need to put that behind you. We welcome you into our movement, and I'm really happy you've turned to us for help. But part of you coming to us means leaving the pornography, the negative influences, at the door, because we can't allow our movement to be subverted by those negative influences. And my issue with Lauren Southern is that she hasn't left it at the door. In fact, quite the opposite. She doesn't think there's anything wrong with what she's done. In fact, she justified what she'd done. She said that, you know, he was a guy that voted Trump, so it didn't really matter. And to me, that does matter, because I've seen all these alt-right commentators over the last few months all talking about Prince Harry marrying Meghan Markle, all talking about the negative of having a member of the royal family who is marrying someone who isn't of European descent, how that's an erosion of our traditions, our heritage, our culture, how it sets a bad precedent for young people, how that's a bad role model, how that's going to work against us because it's almost sort of state-sanctioned multiculturalism from the highest level, from our monarchy. But these people who have talked about that, they are now, some of them, supporting Lauren Southern and saying, oh, well, she doesn't have to apologize. She was young. It was just an error of judgment. But I can't follow that because to me, there's a degree of hypocrisy there. We can't condemn Prince Harry for marrying Meghan Markle and at the same time support a young woman who believes in those same standards, in that same mentality. We have to be honest, and we have to be, ultimately, we have to be succinct in what we say. We have to have our set of morals and we have to stick to them. And like I said, if she's made a mistake, I am more than happy to accept her in the movement and carry on endorsing her and endorsing her videos and the work she does. But she has to at least acknowledge it was a mistake, because I can't endorse someone that doesn't believe the same things I believe. And miscegenation is part of the anti-white agenda, you know, and that's why I would essentially give her the benefit of the doubt if she turned her back on that, because Hollywood, the media, the press, all these influences on young women are pushing them down that route. But part of the awakening of young women must to be to reject that, must be to say, no, I want to ensure the survival of those of European descent, and our survival is threatened by mass immigration. It's threatened by multiculturalism, and it's threatened by the push for interbreeding, which is always pushed by the internationalists who are our enemies. So that was my point. And my other point was, to the people like the MGTOWs, the men who want this to be a man's only movement, equally, I don't think they should be seizing on this and tarnishing all women, because I work with a lot of women. I work with women like Brie Fiché. I work with women like Lauren Rose, like Ayla, who calls herself Wife with a Purpose. I've worked with Tara McCarthy, and all these women are good women. They're women who have contributed great things to our movement, and I don't believe that they should be tarnished with the same brush as Lauren Southern and sort of thrown out of the movement, because that's counterproductive. And what I'm really saying is we need to embody traditional values. We need to embody traditionalism. We need to embody morality. And that is something that I'll always stand by, because if we throw our morals away, if we throw away our core standpoints, then really we're no better than the conservatives. We're no better than the people who sell out to please the left and who want to look metropolitan to gain votes from people who will never vote for them.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of issues that are raised here. The first one you raised was really women in the movement, and I want to get to that a little later. Then there was the issue of the interracial relationships. And I mean, when you get down to it, as a practical matter, individuals choose who they're going to mate with, and they can't be stopped. You've got Romeo and Juliet. That's kind of a play about this. Well, I guess they were stopped. They killed each other. They didn't have their relationship. But, I mean, there's just kind of a basic biology that people make those decisions. But at the same time, communities have interests too. And throughout the ages, communities have established boundaries. And you could say rightly so, communities that don't establish boundaries effectively will over time cease to exist. And I think that's the issue here, that the if it was just a matter of individuals here and there, it would be one thing. But you have got, well, you've got this hostile elite. It's a hostile Jewish elite that is promoting massively practices, including interracial relationships, that will fundamentally transform the gene pool. And so there's the issue of transforming it, making it into a different gene pool than it was, but also, and this is really a separate issue, degrading it. And this is where, and I, you know, I don't mean to sound defensive, but this is where the issue in particular of relationships with Africans, blacks, comes into play. Because, you know, if you look at the data, and I am a statistician, I do, I passed a comprehensive PhD level comprehensive examination in statistical analysis, and you look at the data, and if you're talking about disease, venereal diseases, including AIDS, blacks are at least 8 times as likely in any disease you're going to mention to have the disease than whites. And if you're talking about younger ages and the youth going down into junior high school age is being so much targeted for, you know, sexuality and for, you know, interracial relationships at the junior high school level, that ratio is, can be like 30 to 1 or 50 to 1. The blacks are just so much more diseased. Talk about violence. And then if you're looking forward, down the life path, these, as you've mentioned in previous shows, these interracial relationships don't last long. They're much more likely to break down. You get women, white women with black babies, and no black father there to take care of them to the extent that they're, you know, have parenting skills in the first place. And very poor prospects, because what self-respecting white man is going to want to walk around with a stepchild that makes it very, very obvious what his wife was doing before they met? It's kind of a humiliation. So there's a lot of issues there. And, you know, one of the things is, and you mentioned this in your Christmas video, your multicultural Christmas adverts video, They're just pushing, in particular, the black man with the white woman. And why would we be telling our children or our population not to drive and text? You know, because if you're texting or you're drinking, your odds of an accident go up, you know, by 50% or something. Well, if you're a white woman and you're in an interracial relationship with a black man, your odds of dying from disease or violence are go up by like 1,000%. I mean, it really is like that. There might be, there obviously are some very nice black men, and, you know, people can have different opinions. For somebody who has good character and isn't bringing in really bad genetics, and it would be they're really, frankly, statistically, there aren't a very high percentage of those. I wouldn't care about that. Other people, they can have their reasons for caring about it. But it would be very, very uncommon if it wasn't being pushed. It would be very, very uncommon. And certainly the advice to anybody, you know, like you go to a casino, the odds are rigged against you. I would not advise anybody to go to a casino, because the odds are you're going to lose your money. That doesn't mean somebody doesn't win the jackpot, but your odds are you're going to lose your money. And in interracial dating, the odds are much, much more against you than they are at the casino. So why would that be being pushed? I've talked enough. I'm going to throw the ball back to you, Mr. Collette.
Well, thank you. No, you raised some very, very good points. And I just want to make it this clear. I'm not saying that we should set up laws or anything like that telling people who they can and can't marry. I'm not suggesting we separate couples, but what I am saying is exactly what I think you're saying, that we should have an open and honest debate about why this is being pushed.
And we'll continue our opus and honest discussion after the break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show. I was just having a sip of my lovely cup of tea. This is our British day is Monday, so you're probably having Red Bull, but I had a little bit of British tea today.
I have to stay caffeinated or it all goes very, very wrong.
Well, and so you were just starting to introduce some more ideas about this before we went to break.
Yeah, what I'm really trying to get at is I'm not saying we should legislate on this. I'm not saying that there should be any laws or any rules that prevent people marrying. I'm not suggesting there should be any sort of brutal separations. But what I am saying is that we should be allowed to have an open and honest debate about it. And facts relating to these marriages should not be hidden. And I feel that the facts you were putting forward were very, very illuminating. And those facts are being hidden. But at the same time as those facts are being hidden,
The push from the other side is for white women especially to engage in mixed race relationships. And again, this ties in. I'm really pleased you said that, because really, you raise the point of the Christmas videos again. And if you look at all of those Christmas videos, if you look at the ones by Marks and Spencer's, Debenhams, Apple, they've been added to this now. You know, look at the ones by Morrison's, Tesco's. They all feature these mixed race families, these mixed race relationships, because the media want us to believe that that is the norm, that that is the social norm, that that's what the average family are now, that the average family are, in fact, a mixed race family, that the average white woman covets being in a relationship with a non-white male. And that is all part of the anti-white agenda. It's part of the white genocide plan, because not only are they flooding our nations with these people, not only do these people have a disproportionately large birth rate, not only do white people constantly get told that they shouldn't be having children, that they can't afford children, that material status, like the numbers of holidays they have, the cars they have, the electronic goods they buy, the jewelry they buy, that's far more important than children, and that money makes you happy, materialism makes you happy, which again pushes families to having less and less children. I mean, I hear this all the time. Oh, I'd love to have a child, but we just can't afford it. You know, we'd have to give up one of our foreign holidays a year. And not only is all that happening, but women who do want to breed, or should I say white women who want to breed, are constantly pushed into the arms of non-white males. And this is all part of a concerted effort to ensure that white people are bred out. We are being replaced. This is white genocide. And this is a very, very well put together plot to destroy us. And it's a multifaceted plot. And the fact is, as someone who wants to preserve those of European descent, I want to preserve the indigenous European people. I do not want us to be bred out. I do not want us to become a minority. I feel that this push for racially mixed relationships in Europe, in Western nations, is something that poses a threat to us. It's part of something that poses a huge threat to our continued survival. And when you look at all sort of leading statistical analysis of this situation, they are saying we will be a minority in the UK by 2060. We will be a minority in Germany before 2060. We will be a minority in France before 2060. And they're even going as far to say that within the next 200 years, people with blonde hair and blue eyes, or people who with ginger hair, or people with green eyes, will literally be extinct. We are facing this nightmare scenario where a unique group of people will be extinct. Now, this doesn't just cut one way either, because believe me, if somebody said to me that Aboriginal Australians were going to be extinct within 20 years, I wouldn't want to see that. That would not please me. That would not make me happy. That would make me sad. I wouldn't want to see any unique people, their culture, their heritage, and their traditions become extinct. That's not what we're about. I like the biodiversity of this planet, and I want to preserve that. And I think any liberal would agree that it would be a bad thing for the Aboriginal Australian to be extinct. But those same liberals don't extend that same grace to us. They seem to absolutely revel in the fact that we are facing that extinction. And that's exactly what, to me, should be central to our cause, central to our philosophy, and that's the preservation of our people. And all those that I am happy to work alongside with, whether they're as whether they are as red-pilled as me and you, whether they're on exactly the same page as we are, is irrelevant. Those people have to stand for our preservation. And if you are a leading role model in our cause, you must at least stand by these basics that we're about preserving our people. And if you're a leading role model in our cause and you're taking people down this, you know, racially suicidal route, I'm afraid I can no longer support those people. You know, people have to turn their back on that, and they have to commit to the survival of our people, because that's fundamental to everything that we stand for. And I find it quite distressing that this is even being discussed. I find it very disappointing that this is being discussed. I find it something that, you know, 10 years ago, we wouldn't have been discussing. It wouldn't have been tolerated within our movement 10 years ago. And for me, it would be a very sad day if we go down the route of the conservative, if we go down the route of selling out, basically, because many of the people in our movement, when they see a pretty woman, they don't feel they can challenge her on things.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll be back with much, much more from Mark Colet.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer from me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process.
Back listening to the smooth sounds of North Korean revolutionary music. And just imagine if multiculturalism came to North Korea and we couldn't hear that music anymore, and instead it was just some sort of Jewish-owned Hollywood rap. Oh, my God, that would be horrible. So we do have diversity on this planet, cultural and genetic diversity. And Kevin MacDonald, he has described the God of the Old Testament as being the Jewish gene pool. And earlier this show, Mark, you were mentioning, the attack on us. And I would say that the same people who view the Jewish gene pool as God, they're trying to attack the Western gene pool, the European gene pool, the gene pools of our various countries. There's an attack, and there's two aspects. So one is transformation, introducing just differences. So there will be less cohesion. And, you can have the upper caste Indians, you can have the East Asians come, and they can bring over high IQs, but at the same time, there's different personality and psychological aspects, attributes that they bring with them, which may be very fine for their own countries and for their own civilizations, but it introduces a fair amount of static. But then there's also, and this is why they push the white women with black men so much, is, really, I think, a conscious effort to bring down the IQ and introduce or spread all sorts of negative attributes that don't work well in our society, like lack of impulse control and whatnot. I spent a fair amount of time in Hawaii 40 years ago, and Hawaii, even before multiculturalism became the religion of the West, you had lots of Asians and lots of Europeans, and when Europeans and Asians are in proximity with each other, they're going to mix, they're going to interbreed. So if you allow for high levels of immigration, you're going to have high levels of interbreeding. It's going to happen. Now, with blacks, you had prohibitions, but I don't think you had the same natural tendency, because those prohibitions in the United States were ended in the 1960s. And for 20 years, you barely saw a blip in interracial marriages. There really wasn't it wasn't a natural thing. And then also maybe there was still the ability of white parents to discourage their daughters in particular from bringing home black boyfriends. I think probably up into the 1990s, but then you've had this massive push from above to stigmatize that, not to stigmatize the dating, but to stigmatize the discouraging. It really has been top down. And to me, that's very problematic. What do you see in Britain in terms of the natural versus enforced from above tendencies to interbreed with the various groups you have there, including Chinese, including Jamaican or African, including Muslims and the Indians, the Brahmin. I guess most of your Indian population is high caste, right?
Well, some of it is. I mean, what I'll say is on this is quite an interesting topic. I mean, we have the same pressure for white women to marry black men. Obviously, we have the same sort of Hollywood push that the black man is the alpha, he's the strong provider, he's sort of the hero, the warrior, the tough guy. And often the white man is seen as sort of the dorky, the unfit, the weedy, the beater. And to be fair, that isn't simply a meme or a generalization anymore. White men have become the weedy, the dorks, the beaters. And with this whole sad
Lauren Southern case, you've seen that. You've seen this sort of wave of white knights and beta males sort of come to her rescue. Please don't say anything bad about her. You know, we love her. She makes these videos that make us laugh. And I look at some of these men who, you know, are literally hanging on her every word, and I sort of want to shake them a little bit and say, come on, guys, you know, you want a girlfriend, you want a partner, you want, you know, a woman to be your wife, to be the mother of your children. Well, do yourself a favor. Stop watching these women on YouTube. Get yourself out there. Get down the gym. Get mountain biking. Get running. Get yourself in shape. Buy yourself some nice clothes and go and meet a woman and make her your wife. Because obsessing over these intangible women is a bad thing. Now, obviously, the other big sort of issue we have in this country with, how can you call it, miscegenation or, you know, interracial breeding is obviously with the Islamic community. And as we've spoken about many times, the Islamic community often act in a very predatory manner towards young white girls. And obviously they, under sort of Sharia law, they practice polygamous marriage. Now, polygamous marriage, as you and I both know, can never work in a stable society. A stable society that practices polygamy simply falls to pieces because society is naturally split roughly 50-50. So the idea is nature's way, nature's design is that one man gets one woman and you live monogamously. Because if one man gets five women, ergo four men miss out. And obviously, that can only work in a society that is based on constant conquering and warfare, where the spoils of war are in fact women, where they are constantly conquering new lands, and one of the rewards for the conquering army is to take the women of the fallen men. And unfortunately, with the spread of Islam in the UK, you can see that in the way that these grooming gangs operate, because these grooming gangs choose to prey on white girls. They're not looking for Muslim girls to prey upon. They're not looking to subjugate young Muslim girls. They don't groom young Muslim girls. They groom specifically white girls who aren't part of the Muslim community. And you do see in these areas with large Muslim communities a push towards this kind of predatory behavior, and often that does result in children being born. It does result in some cases with white women becoming the second or third wife to Muslim men. And again, that poses quite a large threat. And I've obviously worked, you know, on the edge of these Islamic communities. I've worked politically in white communities that are blighted by this kind of behavior. And you do see an increasing number of women turning, white women turning to Islam. But that's not all due. I've got to make a distinction here and be fair to the situation. That isn't all due simply to predatory behavior. Islam is offering a strong and traditional set of moral values, and some women are attracted to that. And unfortunately, the Christian church doesn't offer that. So again, as you see some women pursuing black men on the basis that they are seen as alphas, they are seen as strong, they are seen as men who are powerful, often white women pursue Muslim men because they are seen as moral and traditional, and they put family first. Mm-hmm. They want a family.
How about Chinese and Indians in Britain? How do they fit?
We don't have a large Oriental population. We do have a number of Indians, Hindus and Sikhs, but I have always noted that Hindus and Sikhs generally seem to be quite high IQ, quite decent individuals. They are often doctors. They often have good jobs, and they do tend to stick to their own. They do tend to be more insular, and they don't seem to cause the sort of societal problems that you see created by large numbers of other racial groups. Now, that's not to say that I want millions and millions of them flooding here and replacing us, but you also don't see those sort of problems with Orientals, who also seem largely to stick to their own kind, really. They seem to be very content in the UK in being with other people of their kind, and they do uphold that as a traditional value. And also, they don't seem to be particularly forceful in pushing their culture upon the indigenous people. Again, the same as with the Indians and the Sikhs. The Indians and the Sikhs do seem to be able to rub along a lot better with those of European descent. But again, that's not an endorsement for millions of them to come here and to replace us.
And that's one of the main problems with Indians or Chinese, is that there's so many of them. The Chinese come to the United States, and there's a fair amount of Chinese immigration into the United States. And, you know, it's often pointed out that they really aren't causing a lot of trouble. But the one thing is, there's 1.3 billion of them there. And I've been to a few years ago, I was in Sydney and Brisbane, and walking around Sydney, it's like, well, where are the white people? Because it's become Asian city. And because Australia starts out with a population maybe 1/20th the size, or 1/15th the size of the United States. And so it's very, very easily overwhelmed. And that's, you know, that's the thing. So small-scale immigration is something that wouldn't bother me. But we don't have small-scale immigration. We have large-scale immigration, and they're very, very different. With small-scale immigration, cultural assimilation takes place. Genetic assimilation, which, you know, may or may not be desirable, depending on people's points of view, it takes to the extent it takes place, it's very slow, and it's, you know, it's minor, and it's not going to be such a destabilizing event. But what we have is, in every country, just about, certainly in the entire Anglo world and most of Europe, is large scale, just massive large scale immigration that is going to transform our societies, transform our culture, and transform our gene pool.
So, well, I agree with that. I mean, one thing I'll definitely say about immigration is, I don't think really anyone would have a problem with very small scale, high IQ immigration into the West. For example, if a Japanese neuroscientist was tempted to come to the Western world and share his excellence and skills with us and bring his family and work in the West for a limited period of time, I would really have no problem with that. You know, but the fact is, we aren't talking about this small-scale, high-IQ immigration. We're not talking about bringing a small number of people to the West who have very similar values and have skills, very high-level skills, that could really offer us something. That's never really been what immigration has been about. Even in the early days of mass immigration, it's always been about huge, huge numbers of low-skilled workers who flood into the country. And of late, the problem's got even worse, because it's not even about low-skilled workers anymore. And when you look at the UK, where 80% of the adult Muslim population is out of work, they're not in work, they're not in full-time employment. This isn't about even importing workers anymore. It's not about importing anything other than people who are a huge, huge burden on society. And this, it always astounds me when people say immigration boosts the economy. Now, obviously, if you're bringing in some very high IQ, you know, Koreans or Japanese who are, you know, captains of industry, who've got great technological knowledge, who've done wonderful things in their own country, or bring in huge investment from companies like Toyota or Sony, that would be fantastic, or Samsung. But that's not what immigration's about. And it's never been about that, even from its earliest days. And that's the disappointing thing, that sadly, those few exceptional individuals are used as cases to justify this horrible mass immigration, which is literally seeing us being bred out of existence by people who are not in any way a net benefit to our countries.
Not at all. And the economic argument is typically very, very silly, because when people are typically talking about the economy, all they're talking about is quantity and not quality. And Nigeria has a bigger economy than Ireland. But notice that it is the Nigerians flooding into Ireland seeking a better life and not vice versa, because the quality is better in Ireland, even though the quantity of the economy is bigger in Nigeria. So it's always stupid when you hear this, oh, it boosts the economy. Well, what's the economy? Are the people for, I mean, are we here to service the economy, or is the economy here to service us? And they're putting the horse in front of the cart.
Well, that's exactly the point. And really, when you look at what's happened, especially in the UK, we have literally priced many of the indigenous people out of the job market. Because what you end up with is a huge influx of people, some of which don't want to work and go straight onto benefits, as I've discussed, and some of people who take all the low-paid jobs.
Okay, we will be back with one more segment after the break.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with voracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month, and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. So, Mark, I just wanted to raise this as a question. So, you know, there's the issue you were talking about earlier about people who are involved in the movement not bringing their baggage to the movement. Maybe they've had things in their past. They don't bring the baggage to it. Here's a hypothetical. You know, there's this big LGBTQRS agenda out there. And there are people like Milo who flaunted their homosexuality. But there are people who were born messed up, born with an affliction that gives them a less than desirable sexuality. There are people who are just born gay. If you had somebody who was born like that, but didn't want to spread the affliction to others, wasn't flaunting his or her homosexuality, wasn't trying to lure others into it, and was fine with condemning homosexuality as a lifestyle or as a choice or anything like that, would that person be welcome to the movement if they buy into everything? Buy into, you know, our main tenets?
I would definitely say yes. I mean, I make a huge distinction between what I call the LGBT agenda and individual homosexuals. Now, I know people who are gay. I know people who are homosexuals that live quite a traditional life. And if they didn't tell you they were homosexual, you wouldn't know they were homosexual. They don't flaunt it. They don't push it in your face. What they do behind closed doors is very discreet. The thing that I have a problem with is things like the gay pride movement, the gay pride events, where you literally see open displays of BDSM and all this degeneracy, open displays of nudity. You see men walking down the street in bondage gear. You see people waving sex toys. And all of this is taking place in the street. And it's more or less public obscenity. Well, it is public obscenity. And really what they're doing is they're claiming to be some form of civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And they're not really a civil rights movement in any meaningful or real sense. They're not a civil rights movement at all. In fact, it's just another way our enemies push very, very damaging things upon society. And I do actually know homosexuals who are absolutely opposed to the LGBT agenda. I know homosexuals who are completely opposed to that. And, you know, they acknowledge that they're gay. They don't want to get married. They have partners, but it's very discreet. They don't want to adopt children. And I really can't fault that. And again, I don't want to create witch hunts. I don't want to go around. I don't want a society where people are spied upon in their own homes, where people's private business becomes public business. But equally, I don't want public displays of degeneracy. And I think there is a definitive line there. And as long as people don't cross that line, as long as they don't use these things, and the left do use these things, the left, the liberals, the media, they use all of these things as a way to push really damaging things upon the West. And we don't need that. We need a moral, traditional society. That is exactly what we need. And, you know, unfortunately, the homosexual lobby is being used by our enemies to push damaging and completely degenerate, things upon our society.
Well, Mark Collette, thank you so much for coming by again. And I certainly will look forward to your next appearance on Monday. And of course, you come on the David Duke Show on Friday. You're on a show every day of the week, aren't you?
I like to keep busy. Thank you for having me, though. And I look forward to being on again.
You've got your Twitter and you've got your YouTube. So follow, subscribe, and keep an ear open. And we will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in
stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.